Well, we want to continue in our series that we started the first of the year, positioning ourselves. Positioning ourselves for kingdom living. John 10:10 says that Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. That's good. But then he kicked it up a notch. He said, I've come that you might have life more abundantly. And when I think of abundance, I think overflowing. And God wants to overflow our lives. And think about David's words in Psalms 23. He said, my cup overflows. And as we've often said, the cup is my capacity. The overflow is God's. And God wants to overflow out of your life. It's not so much what you can do. It's what God can do through you. And we want to position ourselves for that in the coming year. We started with six positioning things. Do you remember what they were? Can you remember? It's not a test. I'll help you. But maybe you can remember some of them. In fact, in our men's group Thursday, we picked out, each guy picked out one that was significant to them, all right? The first one was to position ourselves for the new year, was that we would put our total confidence in Christ alone and not in our flesh. That we were going to, as we start this new year, we position ourselves, that's number one. In fact, that has to be first, doesn't it? And that's one that God really spoke to my heart. Joe, are you going to put your confidence in me, or are you going to put your confidence in other things? And Paul said that his sufficiency was in Christ alone. And that's where we're going to begin our new year. What was the second thing? Anybody remember? Ah, thank you. We're going to grow. We're going to make room for growth because that's God's desire for us, isn't it? And just like you and your children are growing up, you make little marks on the wall. God's making little marks. In fact, I could just see him in heaven calling the angels around. Hey, have you considered my son, Jim, over here? Look how he's grown. Make a little mark. God's going to make a new mark for you this year. Might be your biggest growth year. I don't know. But God, I don't think God wants you to stay the same. I think he wants you to grow. Amen? And he's got a mark already made for us. What was the third thing we're going to do? We're going to what? Not what? We're going to not give up. Perseverance. Paul said, and we used his words, that he said, I don't speak as one who's obtained or am perfected. Aren't you glad he said that? The Apostle Paul, would you rank yourself par with him? Maybe a little below, would you? Huh? Yeah, the Apostle Paul said that. And then what was his answer to that? But I press on. I press on. So even though it's true, I'm not going to meet them all. I'm not perfected. I haven't already obtained, but I press on. So we're not going to give up. We're going to press on this year. And some of you, I know you are weary and you want to sit down and you want to quit. And I want to encourage you this year. Don't do it. Keep believing. Maybe it's for your children. I don't know. Something you're believing for. Don't do it. Maybe it's your marriage. I don't know what it is, but don't give up. That God wants us to persevere, okay? Press on, press on. And then, the last three, one was we want to what? We want to let go of the past. Ooh, I'm glad you remember, okay. Remember, the past is going to keep us from the future if we're not careful. And we looked at Isaiah, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old, for I will do a new thing, shall you not know it? Which led us to number five, expect the unexpected this year. Just believe, you know, get rid of that. I've said it too. I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Some good thing that happens. Well, I want to say, you know, I expected that. And expect the unexpected. He said, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. I believe this year, you're not going to have to wait a long time. I believe it's going to spring forth quickly. Be ready, because it's coming quick. And he says, shall you not know it? I believe it could go right over your head if you're not careful. Be watching, be expecting. And lastly, know the call within the call. Julie knows the call this morning. Our call is to be with God forever. We will never die. You say, but Julie died. Well, yeah, she did, but she's not dead. Dwight L. Moody said one day, someday you will read in the paper that Dwight L. Moody is dead. He said, don't believe a word of it. I will be more alive than I am right now. And I believe that's true for our Julie as well and other loved ones that we know that are in heaven. That is our calling. That is your ultimate calling. But there's a call within the call. And remember, he said, for me to stay would be profitable for you. To go would be profitable for me, right? To be with God, that would be good. But I'm going to stay because I want to stay and bear fruit. Fruit bearing is what we've been called to do this year. Are you ready to bear some fruit? Notice I said bear. You don't make fruit. You bear fruit. You are a branch. Jesus is the vine. You abide in him. Fruit comes from the vine. You bear it. You don't have to make it. Some of us are trying to make fruit, and you're wasting your time. Just bear the fruit. And don't be comparing your fruit with other people's fruit. Just bear the fruit and see what happens. We just show up, amen? Be a good branch this year, would you? Just be a good branch. And don't try to be the vine. Just be the branch. Well, today I want to talk about positioning ourselves through the Word of God. Just in the time we have, you'll see you have an insert there. I want to talk about using God's Word to calibrate our lives. And to calibrate, and those of you who work in particular industries, you know what calibration is, where you take an instrument or a tool, and you every once in a while you have to calibrate it, you have to bring it to standard. If you're on the sea and you're a sailor and you're navigating your trip, you're going to use the North Star. And you're going to calibrate everything to that North Star because it doesn't change. I don't know about you, but recently, you know, with my knee surgery and stuff, I realized, you know, there are little things that can happen in your body that make that cause things to be out of alignment. Is that true? Anybody here got back issues? Y'all try an inverter. Alicia could tell us about it, huh? It's his fault. Her inverter broke this week while she was on it. And so we'll have her tell that story. I love the story. I thought it was great. Of course, I didn't have to experience it. But you know, we got these inverters, and I have an inverter. And at one point, I was going to have back surgery, you know. And, man, I'd scheduled the surgery. And my daughter got me this inverter. And, boy, within a few weeks, I canceled my surgery and been using it ever since. You know what that does? It helps line up things. Because when you get out of alignment in your back, and the older you get, young people, you're going to understand, you'll get to experience it. But you can even have it with a foot. You get a foot that's kind of catawampus, the rest of your body compensates for it, and what happens? You get out of alignment. And then you go to a who? A chiropractor. What's he do? He tries to get you back in alignment, doesn't he? He's trying to calibrate us, isn't he? And so we want to be sure we're in alignment today. We want to position ourselves. And I believe God's Word is one of the ways we're going to do that, all right? I want to look at six calibrating positions this morning just quickly. We can move through them in the time we have, and you can write them in as we go. Here's number one. Number one, spend time meditating on the Scriptures. Would you commit to that this year? Not in a legalistic way, but just say, Lord, I want to spend time in your Scriptures this year. But I don't want to just read it. I want to meditate on it. Say, what does that mean? Not to gross you out or anything, but meditation is like a cow chewing its cud. All right, and he, our sheep, when he eats grass, he chews it, swallows it, spits it back up, chews it some more, spit, and swallows it again. And chemically, the grass becomes protein at some point. And so that's what we want to do with the Scriptures. We just start reading it and just kind of hang on to it and let God just let it soak into us. And here's two Scriptures, Psalms 1, 1 through 3. You know this, right? Blessed is the man, or woman, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He's telling us, be careful what you're calibrating to. Everybody calibrates, but what are you going to calibrate to? And many times we take the counsel of the Word and we use it as our standard. I want to encourage you today to change that and use a different standard. He said, however, this man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, here it is, he meditates day and night. Wow. He's not just flippantly reading. He meditates, becoming part of him. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Who wants to be a tree this year? It's a tree. You're not a bush, you're a tree, and you're planted. I like that. I'm glad that tree was planted. It didn't blow in with the wind. It's not a wild tree. It's a planted tree. And where's it planted? It's planted by rivers of water. How many of you have the word canal in your Bible? Canal, that means somebody dug it. That means this thing is intentional. And God says the man who delights in the Word and meditates on it, he's going to be a tree. He's going to be planted by rivers of water. A canal is going to be dug to provide us nourishment. We're going to grow, and guess what? And that tree will bring forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf will not wither, and whatever it does, shall prosper. Wow, I want to get lined up with that. How about you? Joshua 1:8, first chapter of Joshua. Joshua's just found out Moses is dead. Picked up the morning paper. Moses is dead. Oh my gosh. He's number two. Moses is number one. God says, hey, Joshua, Moses is dead, and I want you to take his place. And Joshua, I'm sure, is saying, I like being number two. And I've read the letters that people wrote to Moses. And I've heard the phone calls. I don't want to be number one. That just makes me a target. And God says, listen, I'm going to help you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. You're not sufficient in yourself. And in verse 8, this is what he says. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall, here it is, meditate on it day and night. Gee, where have I heard that before? Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Okay, would you commit with me this year to spend time meditating on Scripture? Doesn't have to be a lot. You don't have to. Sometimes we think, well, a little is good, a lot's better, and let's just go all in, and then you get discouraged. Just take a few verses. Take a book and just start walking through it this year. Take a few verses and just meditate. Memorize them. Say, I can't memorize. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You do all the time. You memorize commercials. You can't get them out of your head. I was sharing in first service. When I was 16 years old, I was in a pod in a detention center as a juvenile, and we would spend 8 hours in our pod, isolated from the rest of the population, and they had magazines. So help me God, to this day, I remember a stupid poem that was in that magazine about clothes. So, oh, golly, yes, said Linda Hess, who asked to go out dancing. She knew success depended on dress and blew a week's financing. The dress she got was apricot, created by Pierre. It costs a lot, but then so what? It was labeled wash and wear. Said Lynn Bayou, the blue triad has quite a swinging combo. Said Lynn, I know. Come on, let's go. I cut a wicked mambo. And so the night took speedy flight, and wash day came too soon. The dress so bright was now a sight. It behaved like a prune. With one short dunk, it even shrunk. Lynn raised an awful fuss. I could go on. Would you pray for me that I could be delivered from that poem? That's a lot. That's over 50 years. I'm telling you, you can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. If you're motivated, it's about motivation, isn't it? Number two, this is very important. In fact, coming soon, Dr. Dave is going to do a class on the inerrancy of Scripture. I want you to approach this year with the Scriptures as you're spending time meditating, realizing that this book is not Moby Dick. It's not Gone with the Wind. It's not some great novel. It is the Word of God. And it is God-breathed. It is God-breathed. It is inspired by God. In 2 Peter 1, 20 through 21, they believe this. The apostles believe it, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16, this is what the apostles believed. In fact, Paul, actually the verse before, he said, this is familiar, you all know the Scripture. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. How many times have you read that Scripture? Look what comes next. But God has revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man who is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words with man's wisdom, not the wisdom that the wisdom teaches, but that which by the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Scripture that's not on the screen, but you can write it down. 2 Peter 3:16. You say, now you got to remember, Pastor, when you're reading this, the New Testament hadn't been written yet, and they're talking about the Old Testament, which in fact they are, I agree. But I want you to understand, too, how they looked at the epistles that were being written, because I believe they thought of them as inspired scriptures. And then we know later the canon was formed, and we'll hear more about that in Dr. Dave's class. But in 2 Peter 3:16, here's a little peek. He's talking about the epistles, as also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction. Here it is. As they do also the rest of the scriptures. What's he saying? He's putting them right in there with Scripture. He said, these are Scriptures. This is the inspired Word of God. So when this year, if you want to position yourself, if you want to get to that place where, and recalibrate your life, because sometimes what happens to us, we get off a few degrees. Is that right? And you don't know it. What happens when your car gets out of balance, your tires? What do? You go get it what? Alignment, yeah. And what are they doing? They're calibrating your tires to the standard. Because probably what happened is you hit a few curbs. Is that right? Yeah, I see you looking at her. Yeah. When she was a teenager driving, Connie said, you hit a curb, didn't you? She said, how did you know? Did you know? Oh, when I let go of the steering wheel, the car goes way to the right, okay? It got knocked out of calibration, right? Doesn't your car drive better when it's aligned? Yeah. What happens if it's not aligned, besides turning to the right or the left? What happens to your tires? They wear unevenly. Right. So it's important for things to be aligned, because when it's out of alignment, it affects everything, all right? Here's number three. Continue to allow the Word to navigate your life. 2 Timothy 3. Verses 14 through 17. We referred to one of the verses, but let's back up and let's read it in context, all right? 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 14. But as for you, this is Paul teaching Timothy. He's going to be a pastor. He's a young guy, right? He's getting him ready. He says, this is very important, Timothy. As for you, continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed and is profitable. How many believe scripture is profitable? It is profitable. In fact, over in 1 Timothy 4:8, it uses that same word when it talks about bodily exercise is profitable a little. But this profitability is not a little, it's a lot. Now, we can work out the gym, and it's good, isn't it? It's profitable. Cooper and I were working out yesterday, weren't we, Cooper? And they can tell by looking at us, can't they? We got them ropes. Yeah, we're lifting weights. We're doing it, and it's profitable, a little. But I'll tell you what's really profitable, right here. The scripture is profitable. You want to do something that's really profitable? What's it profitable for? For doctrine, what you believe, for reproof. Anybody here need reproof? Oh, pastor, I don't know about that. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good deed. Wow. This book, according to David, he said, if you hide these words in your heart, you will not what? Sin against me. Listen, this book will keep you from sin, but I'll tell you what else. Sin will keep you from this book. Because I know what, I'm just going to be honest with you, I know when I'm struggling in the flesh, I don't know when the last time is you sinned. Yesterday for me. But the deeper I get in sin, the less I'm drawn to this book. And so that's why it's important to be intentional and disciplined. Let God's word minister to us. Amen. Don't just read the word. Let the word read you. It's a mirror. In fact, that's number four, isn't it? Commit to being a doer of the word. And James, the first chapter, he talks about this very thing. And I want you, this is part of our prayer emphasis this month. I want you, this sounds like a simple commitment. I want you to commit to this. I'm going to do whatever God's word says. How about scriptures like this? Love your enemy and do good to those who spitefully use you. You want to calibrate your life? You're going to calibrate it to those words. Look at verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Who's he writing to? The church. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I know a lot of people who know the word, but they don't do it. They're deceived. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And when he observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Can you imagine your home without a mirror? How many of you used a mirror this morning? How many were shocked by what you saw? I looked in the mirror and go, where have I been? My hair standing straight up. I look like I've been in a barroom fight. And I thought, man, I'm glad I had that mirror. You would have thought, what is wrong with him today? Because you can't see. Can you see? Hey, a little trick I have. I use my phone and put it on a selfie. You know, for getting ready to go in the hospital. So I got to make sure my hair's okay. I don't have a mirror. I use my phone. I just discovered that the other day. Although it's kind of distorted looking, but. He said, what would be really bad is to look in the mirror and then go away and forget what you saw. Because the mirror's there to help you see what you can't see. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Oh, there's that word again. It is, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Wow. So number four is, commit this year, will you? I'm going to do what God's word says. Now here's the problem. And where I sit, I hear this all the time. But what's really unfortunate is I've heard myself say it. When I read God's word and I know something to be true and I follow it with these words. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. And that's my definition of hard-heartedness. Who's most vulnerable to hard-heartedness? It's not the heathens, it's us. My definition of hard-heartedness is overexposure and under-response to truth. Do we have an overexposure to truth? I mean, yes, you can listen to 10 sermons on your way to church today if you want it. You have 20 Bibles in your home. You have truth everywhere. You hear messages here. I know they're not the best, but they're, yeah, better than nothing, okay? You got something going, all right? But are we responding to it? Because every time I go, yeah, but, my heart gets a little harder to the truth. What happens when your feelings are not lining up with Scripture? Let's go to number five. Allow God's word to operate on you. That's hard to see that picture. It was kind of a scary picture when I saw it. It's a doctor with a scalpel in his hand, okay? I know I had that feeling when I went in for my knee replacement. And you're conscious, and they set me up on the side of the operating table, and were going to give me a shot, and I looked over, and there was a table with drills and stuff, and I went, you ought to cover that up or something. You shouldn't let people see that. That's the last thing I remember. Hebrews 4:12, you know it. I want you to understand what God's word does in your life. For the word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Could we use scalpel? It's sharper than any scalpel. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is that mirror that looks. How many of you sometimes you're even deceived by your own heart? And God's word can operate on you. And I've had that happen. Have you ever had that happen? Where you look at a scripture and it does what Timothy said, and God's taken. See, do you see it in that scripture? We're made up of three parts. Every one of us in this room. We're spirit, we're soul, and we're body. Is that right? We're triune. That's what we are. We're made in the image of God. And what I heard Robert Morris talk about this one day. He said the spirit is where we communicate with God. The soul, what is the soul? It's where we get our word psyche. It is your mind, your thoughts, your will, and your feelings all come in the soul. And that we communicate with God and the world. The flesh, we relate to the world totally. So there, that. And the problem is sometimes in the soulish realm, what I think, what I feel, all right, what I do, what I want is contrary to the word of God. Have you ever been there? How about unforgiveness? You got somebody in your life, you just can't forgive them. Or you got other situations going on in your life. And And I tell you, I'm not a counselor. Don't come to me for counseling. If you want to come and talk, I'll talk. If you want some coaching, I'll coach, but I'm not a counselor. Because I tell you what, this is the counselor right here. And I like to take the Word of God whenever I'm dealing with a situation and start with this question: what does the Word of God say? Let's start there. And pray you don't hear the words, "Yeah, but." Yeah, but. Are we willing to put ourselves on the operating table and allow God to take that scalpel? And what's He say? He's going to divide between spirit, soul, and body. He's going to do surgery on us. And I know sometimes surgery, is it true? When you first wake up, you feel worse than when you went out and say, "What have I done?" But you're going to get better, right? God will hurt you, but He'll never harm you. And if you're trying to avoid the knife, you're wasting your time. John 15 says, God prunes those whom He loves. Does that involve a knife? And what's He doing? He's cutting away things in our life, right? And maybe some things I don't want Him to cut away. Lord, could You leave that? No, I got to get rid of that so You can. There's another cutting that I don't want to be part of. And He says that he prunes those whom He loves. And then later in that chapter, and those who do not abide in Him, He cuts off and He throws them in the fire. So here's the deal. You get a knife either way. So why not submit to this? And let God's work. Because God will cut you, but He doesn't want to harm you in any way. But it might be painful at times. And He's going to be able, this is what it says, He's going to be able to pierce even to the division of the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, the spirit. God's Spirit comes to dwell in our spirit. That's how we commune and connected. And the joints and marrow, what's that? That's the flesh. So God's dealing with the flesh. Am I the only one that has to wrestle with flesh? Like every day. And then He says, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Sometimes God is revealing the intents of my heart to me. Joe, your motivation stinks. But I don't know that till I get into God's Word and He begins, the Word of God starts to read me instead of me just reading the Word of God. Number 6, last, important. Whenever you're studying the Word, and again, that's washed out, that's a lady praying. Whenever you study the Word, and I just want to encourage you this year, maybe you're not a reader, just take a few verses every day. Take the book of Philippians, just start through it. Say, I'm going to take 5 verses a day. And you're going to just set it in your lap, and you're going to read it. What are you going to do? You're going to meditate. You're going to recognize that these words are God-breathed. Is that right? They're God-breathed, and you're going to receive them that way, which changes the weightiness of it. And you're going to allow it to navigate your life and to give you direction. And you're going to commit to do whatever it says. All right? You're going to let God do surgery on you if necessary. But then I want to encourage you, and this will help you in this process. Ask this question every time you read Scripture. When you're through reading, ask this question. Holy Spirit, what are You saying to me today through this passage of Scripture? And then I want you to do me a favor. Write it down. Because some of you have told me God never talks to you. And I'm here to tell you He does. And He has chosen to take this book here. And let me tell you, this book, people have died. Blood's been shed that this book would be preserved for us. God breathed these words. This is Jesus in writing. And so this is, don't flippantly, and make sure your children understand this. Let them honor this word and what it represents to us. But put yourself in a place. It's living. It's alive. And God will speak to you. I don't think there's any way not to hear from God if you put yourself in a position with this question: Holy Spirit, what are You saying to me today? Through this Scripture, write it down. Now, some of you are journalers, some of you are not. I know you say, oh, this year I made a resolution. I'm going to journal every day, and about March you're done. And you just, oh, I'm going to skip, and I'll do it every other day. Oh, once a week. Okay. Hey, I get that. I know that's hard sometimes. But this would be very easy for you. Just take a few verses. Just write down whatever comes to your mind. And you think, well, that was a weird thought I had. Write it down anyway. Because God will speak things to you. I believe that. If you put yourself in the position for God to do that, He will calibrate your life. Amen? Would you commit to that? And just, I say every day, that I would think you could do that every day. Just make that, well, I don't have time. We got time to do whatever we want to do, and you know that's true. I make all the excuses just like you do, but the reality is I have time. I can make time. I might have to get up a little early. And some of you with children, that's precious time. Some of you are late at night when the children go to bed. Take a few moments. You might need it. And say, God, speak to me about my day because it didn't go well. And I'm just going to read these scriptures and God's going to speak to you. I believe he'll speak to you. But please write it down. Otherwise, you'll look in the mirror and then you'll go away and you'll forget what you saw. And I'll tell you what else is good about writing it down. You can come back and read it later and see how all the pieces connect together. Because they do. God is moving and working all the time. And he wants to speak to you. And this is a good place to start. Amen? Would you position yourself to do that? I'm not just asking you just to position yourself. Amen? We're going to prepare ourselves now to come to the table. And we're going to remember John 1:14, right? Great doctrine. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is a reflection of the living Word of God, and we have access to it. And let me tell you, there are places in the world they would give their eye tooth to have what you have. Some of them just to have a page or a scripture. We got it. We have so much. Now, today, Julie doesn't have to read her Bible anymore. She's standing face to face with it. You are the Word. You are what I've been reading about. You are it. She's going to worship and declare the worthiness of this Word. We get to do that now. It's a shadow. We participate in a shadow. But the substance is coming. And please don't neglect this. If you really want to position yourself this year, don't neglect this. Let God speak to you through it. Father, we're going to prepare our hearts today to come to this table. And I know you told us to use these times to kind of search our hearts and to just take inventory. So we want to do that right now before we come. Speak to us. We're asking the same question. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today through this sermon? Listen. Listen. Thank you, Father, that the Word became flesh and came and dwelt among us. We thank you that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Thank you, Lord, because that's present tense. You are speaking fresh and new today, and we need to hear it. Would you help us? Help us to benefit and profit from what we hold in our hands today. In Jesus' name. This is open communion. If you're not a member of this congregation, but you're a son or daughter of the living God, this table's for you. And it is the Word that was made flesh and came and dwelt among us. And we celebrate it today. Amen? We celebrate it because he said it is our salvation by faith. It is the mind of God. And we celebrate that today. So we're going to invite you to come. And you will not be turned away. This table is wide open to you because God made it that way. We want you to take the bread when you come and dip it in the cup and just thank the Lord for what he's done and ask him to commit this year to position yourself around this table for whatever God has for us this year. I'm kind of excited. I don't know about you. Father, we just pray again to take this cup and bread and we offer it up as you offered it up to us. You said you lived to have this meal. You were passionate about it and you still are. You long to have this meal with us. And so, Lord, we partake of it. We are grateful. Speak to us through this table. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you come. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you for coming today. You probably had a choice to be somewhere else if you wanted to be, but you chose to be here. And I don't take that for granted. I'm humbled by it. And I just want you to know that after we leave this place, we'll be praying for you. I hope you'll be praying for us, especially this week. This will be a little different kind of week, and we just want to I believe God wants us to be gloves on his hand this week. And our sufficiency will be in Him alone. Amen? That's what the church is all about. Thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit and being obedient to Him. I don't know how this is all going to shake out for us over the year. I know there's got a lot of change coming. I know we talked about New Year's, oh, there's going to be some funerals. I didn't know they'd be this quick. But there will be more. And there'll be weddings, and there'll be baby dedications, and there are going to be more layoffs. There's going to be people who are going to find new jobs, new homes. We're going to experience it all because life is like a battery. It's got a positive and negative side, and Jesus told us that. He said, in this life you'll have trouble, but I've come to give you peace. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's the filter that we use as we embrace this year. Amen. We are going to leave, but we're going to stick around too. Those of you don't run off. If you need prayer, we're going to stay here and pray with you. You got plenty of time. You need somebody to agree with you. You need encouragement. You need just a hug or something. We can do that because that's what the body of Christ is about. We are a family. We're family. What happens to one of us happens to all of us. If you need healing in your body, we're going to do what God's Word says. We're going to anoint you with oil. We're going to pray the prayer of faith over you. We're going to believe God to work in your life. Amen. Or maybe you just need encouragement. I know this week a lot of people got their little notices getting laid off work, and some of you have already got them. You think, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what? I don't either. But I do know this. I know God's never going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And I believe He may do a new thing, and we're going to learn to ask the question in a greater measure. What are we going to ask? I wonder what this will make possible. And be ready for that. Amen. Father, I thank you for this church, and I love each and every member. They are living stones that you have brought together and stacked one on top of another. It's not my design, it's yours. And Lord, I'm honored just to be a part of that process. But Lord, we ask through these six positions today that you would help us recalibrate our lives. Some of us, very honestly, we've gotten off the mark a little bit. We're listening to ungodly counsel. We're following the way of the world. And Lord, over time, it's taken us far away from your intent for us. I pray you'd bring us back. And let it begin here with your Holy Scriptures. And Lord, let us find profit in them and allow you to speak to us once again through these Scriptures. We love you and we love one another in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. God bless you as you go. We love you. Thank you for coming. Go in God's love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.